11. Bazooka. Chris stopped in at the Booker Lounge on Pierce when he got back to the city. Not nearly the action of Weatherby's around the corner, but the food was better. He had the house burger and fries, the whole works apparently organic and grass-fed, and a pint of dark stout. The two guys two stools away looked familiar, one of them especially, but he couldn't place the guy. Then he realized it was Rich Tomlinson, who was a beat reporter for the Examiner when Chris was working at the Chronicle. Both papers pretty much fell apart 10 years ago. He assumed Tomlinson had taken a buyout, just like he had. Rich, that you?
Hey, Chrissy! Good to see you, man. How you been?
Pretty good, Rich. You latch on anywhere? Buddy of mine has a PR firm in Burlingame. He handles a few of the Silicon Valley bigwig accounts. He throws me some hours.
Good.
Not the same, though, is it?
Nah, not at all.
There's nothing matches the excitement in that newsroom when a good story was breaking. What can you do? You doing anything?
I went back and got a master's, Chris said, and taught high school for a while. Last few years, I've been teaching a journalism class at College of Marin in the fall.
And you're okay?
Yeah, between the buyout, a little real estate I got, whatever, I'm staying alive.
Rich ordered another round and Chris moved to the stool in between them.
Rich, let me ask you a question, though. How would you kill someone? What would be the best way?
Rich laughed. Why, you researching the topic out of curiosity or you have something in mind?
Every now and then, Chris said, I conjure up a couple guys who would be satisfying to take care of.
Over a beer, obviously, not literally.
That's for sure. With myself, there's more than a couple of those dudes around. The other day, some decked-out jerk on a bicycle comes riding up, slaps my fender, and gives me the finger. All I'm doing is stopped at a stop sign on Irving Street. If I had a bazooka at that moment, I swear I would have chased that guy down and shot it off up his ass.
What about hitting them with a baseball bat? Is that a clean way?
Well, yeah, that might be one of them. You wouldn't want to leave the bat, or part of it, behind, of course. I'd probably alcohol the bat first, wear gloves, long sleeves, all that stuff. If there was a struggle and the guy scratched you or something, you wouldn't want your DNA under his fingernails.
Chris was running the JC up in Santa Rosa back through his head.
Of course, a nice way to handle it, Rich was saying, would be to cause some type of accident. No direct contact.
How would you go about that?
I don't know, force the guy off a cliff on Highway 1 on the way to Stinson Beach, something like that.
You'd have to pick your spots. There's also medical accidents, medications, and such.
All I know is I work my share of crime stories, and it took a little bit for homicide to look hard at an accident situation. Sometimes it did come to that, of course, but your odds are better.
Gentlemen, pardon me for interrupting y'all's entertaining conversation. It was Booker himself who had been tending the bar tonight. A big black guy with a shaved head. Everything neat. A pressed white sport coat, huge hands full of rings. He kept order in the establishment. You want to use your cell phone? You go outside. You come in with a hat? You take it off.
What you both doing, he said, is dancing around the concept. You want to hit someone, you go get a gun they can't trace, and then you shoot them in the side of the head with it.
Hard to argue with that, Rich said. Any way they could trace the bullets on you, though, Chris said.
Chrissy, my man, Booker said, smiling. You're really thinking this through, aren't you? Now you got me curious about that. Something to find out.
There was a complex,
south of Market called the Rialto that played offbeat artsy films which didn't make it into the mainstream theaters. Chris picked the one titled A Graceful Exit, not knowing anything about it. The girl from Starbucks, Allison was her name, showed up on time at 6 on Sunday, but she had a friend with her, Monica. Good choice, said Allison. This got really good reviews. It was a documentary about a dance troupe in Egypt that was able to perform freely now after the overthrow of Mubarak. Chris didn't think the liberated dancing was much better or that different than the restricted dancing, but the dancers were so joyous that you couldn't help root for them. Naturally, it ended with a performance in New York. What did you think? Chris said. I cried, Monica said. I did too, Allison said. I can relate. Wait a second, Chris said. You relate to them how? I'm an artist too, a musician actually. Depending on the circumstances, it can be very inhibiting. Chris was thinking about the Warriors game he was missing with Bethany. You're full of shit, you know that? He said. Anyway, I'm starving. Let's eat somewhere. There was an Indian place he remembered in the Tenderloin, a run-down hole in the wall but cheap and authentic. He knew they'd be vegans, so he made sure to order himself the meatiest dish he could. This is really tasty, Monica said. We have some of these in Berkeley, but this place is even better. You guys roommates, old friends, in a relationship, what? Chris said. Yes, roommates, Allison said. Two white girls in the Flatlands. We live like a half block up from San Pablo Avenue. We have a male roommate, though, too, Monica said. He's black, and most people know him in the neighborhood, so that helps a lot. Henry. Oh, Chris said, trying to figure it out, but deciding it wasn't worth it. And you? Allison said. No particular excitement. That's why you ran into me in Mill Valley. I like to hike by myself on Mount Tam. Is that what you had just done? Not yesterday, actually. That's what I mean. I could tell right away you were struggling with something. You still are. I am. But I feel better now that I ate. Let's get out of here. Chris walked them down to the bottom of Powell to get the BART train back to Berkeley. Well, it was fun, he said. Thanks for meeting me. Monica announced that actually she was going to Jill and Tabitha's party in the Mission. You want to come, Al? You too, Chris. It might be weird, but they don't care. No, what I'll do then, Allison said, is hang out with Chris a little longer. Looking at Chris, if that's all right. I feel like you're a tour guide. He said fine with him. He didn't mind. Monica gay, he asked when she'd left. Not really. She's into women, but she appreciates men too. Well, there's a couple options, he said. We can go up to Nob Hill, get a coffee somewhere, take the cable car back down. The other would be the longer effort, here to Chestnut Street. I could buy you a drink and then my car's near there, so I drive you back to Berkeley. You don't want to be taking BART too late. I like Plan B, she said. She had put on a woolen hat that covered the tops of her ears with straps that hung loose. She looked cute. Okay, then. I enjoy pointing stuff out. If it gets over the top, tell me to shut up. A couple miles into it, when they got to Polk Street, she said, This makes me realize I don't walk nearly enough. We need those positive ions. They took Broadway to Fillmore and then down the steep hill with a classic view of the bridge. Everything sparkly across the bay tonight. Sunday night at Weatherby's, it was a little quieter, but not much. They sat at a corner table and had lemon drops. When Shep came over, Chris introduced him to Allison and gave him the not-what-you-think look. Though he could feel it may be happening, you never knew. As they were walking to his place, he said, I'm trying to picture the setup. Pardon me being out of line, but the liquor's got me curious. You guys fuck your roommate, Henry? Or it's nothing like that. Monica does on a semi-regular basis, Allison said. I tried it once when I first moved in, but it didn't work for me. Oh. You have a guitar? I do, as a matter of fact. Can I play a couple songs for you, originals? Then you can take me home. I'd love to know what you think. He told her, be my guest. And they turned down Broderick, crossed Bay, and when they got to his building, there was Joyce again, waiting on the bench in the alcove. 12. Coffee table. You have to be kidding me, Chris said. Chris, I just need to speak to you briefly, Joyce said, giving Allison a weak smile. Chris introduced them. Tell you what, he said, pointing upstairs. I'm going to set her up, and I'll be down in a couple minutes. So who's Joyce? Allison said in the apartment. Joyce is someone I used to work with, he said. She's really pissing me off. And you're hooked up with her? We were at one time, not anymore. She's attractive. She takes care of herself. Chris did have to admit Joyce looked pretty good tonight. Her hair a little different and wearing a skirt, suede. Okay, let me handle this real quick, he said. The guitar is hanging on the wall in the bedroom, and there's not a lot in the kitchen, but whatever you find, I'll be right back. No problem, she said. It's nice here. Back downstairs, Joyce said. I'm really sorry to keep showing up unannounced, but you didn't call me back all weekend. Can we talk somewhere private just for a second? They went in the garage. There was only one car there, his. No one around. Chris, the police talked to me yesterday morning at the walkathon. They did? I mean, they talked to all of us, whatever faculty and administrators were there. So I know it was just routine, but I lied to them, which scares the shit out of me. What do you mean lied? They asked me could I think of anyone who might have wanted to hurt Donnie, and I said I couldn't. That's perfect then, and that's the truth. It's not, she said. And something else. What? I've been horny for you. I can't get beyond it. Ever since what I think you might have had something to do with. You're out of your goddamn mind. You know that? I'm not wearing any underwear at the moment, she said. Fuck. A few minutes later, her back up against the side of the car, she said, didn't know doctor's secretaries had nose rings these days. He thought about correcting her, but figured what was the harm. Everything good? Allison said when he was back. I'm very sorry about that, Chris said. There was an accident involving a former student up where she teaches. She's having trouble rationalizing it. Allison was sitting cross-legged on the couch, strumming the guitar, a cup of tea steaming on the coffee table. Well, she said, do you want to make love first, or should we go through the songs? Jesus Christ Almighty. He said, why not try the songs? She had a good voice, not a trained voice, but expressive, with plenty of range. She ran through three songs. They were pretty much folk, with a little pop, hip-hop element thrown in. The lyrics were off, corny, with too many words, but the melodies weren't bad. When she finished, she laid down the guitar and waited for his reaction. For me, the second was the weakest, he said. It sounded too much like something else that I can't place. But the other two were good. Not great yet, they need a little help, but both pretty catchy, actually. Wow, that means a lot, she said. Thank you. They talked music for a while. She told him she'd been going to open mics and that a friend who had Pro Tools was helping her put together a demo. Chris said he was in a couple of bands back in college, but rarely picked up an instrument these days, and that it was nice to feel her energy. Welp, she said, this turned out to be one of the best evenings I had since I moved here. You sure you don't mind driving me? Of course not, he lied. That's the idea. When he dropped her, she said, you're a pretty nice guy. Maybe you can come to one of my little gigs. Well, yeah, you never know, he said. 13. Bucket. It was 3:30 in the morning when he got back to the city, and he realized he was ravenous, so he went to Mel's on Geary and ordered a Reuben sandwich and a strawberry shake. Should he be concerned about Joyce? Not the second thing so much, but the first, the police. She seemed shaken up. Why? She had to be as glad as anyone about what happened. He'd have to keep an eye on her, unfortunately. One idea that struck him was, could you kill someone and implicate one of the others in the same deal? For instance, could you give the police an anonymous tip that Ike's neighbor killed Donnie? Or would they check it out, and if the guy had an alibi, then figure out who gave them that tip and come after you? He went home, decided why bother going to sleep, and took his run early. The sun coming up, the foghorns, the smell of the ocean. Things could be worse, he supposed. After breakfast, he returned Ray's call from Saturday. Ray, Chris Seeley. I think you called me? I couldn't understand you, though. I phoned you to tell you you're an ugly motherfucker. Just like you was back then, Ray said. I'm not losing sleep over it or nothing, but I remember what happened that time by the park. It shouldn't have happened. Wow. Oh, so now you're going silent. Chris took a minute. Actually, no, Ray, you got me thinking a little different here. Would you want to get a drink or have lunch or something? Man, you is one strange white boy. Why not? If I can squeeze you into my schedule. They left it he would pick Ray up tomorrow at noon. Chris found Steiner's office number, thought about it, said screw it, and dialed. Dr. William Steiner's office, Bethany speaking. How may I help you? Not sure how you can help me on the phone, but would you want to go to L.A. this weekend? A pause. Chris, it's you, right? Yep. It's busy in the office. I'll have to call you back. She hung up. Then he called that son of a bitch Meyerhofer and asked him if he wanted to hit some balls this afternoon. Julius Kahn Playground was tucked inside the Presidio at the bottom of Pacific Avenue. They had four courts, nicely set in a cypress grove, even some bay views thrown in, and Chris was always surprised the courts weren't more crowded. He had taken up tennis several years ago and found it relaxing, but the one thing he hated was losing to this guy. Meyerhofer was one of those New Yorkers with a chip on his shoulder. He came from Brighton Beach, Brooklyn, where they played one-wall handball and paddleball and paddle tennis, and everyone put money on stuff, and the whole scene was in-your-face competitive. Meyerhofer usually played Chris with no shirt on, and he switched hands with the racket, hitting a left-handed forehand from the backhand side. Meyerhofer's line calls were terrible, and Chris saw him as a pathological cheater. The worst part was he was in his mid-50s, a good 15 years older than Chris, and he usually won their matches. Today, Chris couldn't find the court, and Meyerhofer hammered him 6-2, 6-love. They played an extra set that was just as bad. Chris had no feel for the ball off the racket. His forearm still hadn't recovered properly from when he swung that bat. Plus, he was distracted. Now he had to sit there and watch this prick do his post-match stretching and push-ups and sit-ups, sipping every 2 seconds from a dumb water bottle. Chris, when you get to be my age, Meyerhofer said, you can't let it go even one day. Who you trying to impress, though? Chris said. Well, my lovely Brigitte, for starters. You met her once, right? And there's always other fish in the pond, if you get me. He winked at Chris. Yeah, that's something I wanted to talk to you about, Steve. I did meet your wife here that once, and I also ran into her another time at Cala Foods, the nicest lady in the world. She seems to have a touch of an accent. Was she born here? Denmark. They came over when she was 15. Chris looked around. There was one other court in use, an Asian kid and his dad on it, the kid hitting repetitive ground strokes with the dad feeding balls out of a bucket. The playground behind the courts was full of scrambling little kids being trailed by nannies. Thing is, Chris said, I've been playing you for a couple years now, and you talk more about your conquests than Brigida. Chris, you know how it is. We have a great relationship, the best. But we're all alive here. Sometimes a man's got to do what he has to do. Will you do it again? I'll kill you. Come again? Don't screw around on your wife anymore. She doesn't deserve it. Did I hear you right? You're telling me how to conduct my life? Yeah. You know what, you cocksucker? Stand up right now and I'll kick your fucking ass. Where I come from, pal, nobody talks to me like that. I know people, son. You don't know anything about me, do you? I was you, I'd keep a tight eye on my backside from here on out, you cunt bastard. Chris watched him finish his tantrum, jamming his racket into his bag and spitting in Chris's direction. When he was at the gate, Chris said, Steve? Meyerhofer kept going. I wasn't joking. 14. Discipline style. Ray struggled a little getting in and out of the car, but it worked out. They were in Weatherby's, not the exact table, but right next to the one he and Allison had the other night. This is the kind of joint, Ray said, looking around, I'd never walk into in a million years. I hear what you're saying, Chris said, but you get comfortable in a place. They know you, start you off with a smile, no surprises. That's worth something. It is, Ray said. I had one like that on Turk Street, Monty's, but they let it go. You didn't trust the cuisine no more. They ordered drinks. Chris got a beer. Ray had a scotch on the rocks. Shep wasn't bartending today at lunch. It was Eloise, a plump red-headed woman with a hearty laugh. You okay drinking that hard stuff, Chris said. You're on kidney treatment, right? Hemodialysis, Ray said. I was going 3 days a week. They got a whole unit at SF General just for us, so we can take a piss. Then they do a big study how 4 days filters you better than three. That's where I'm at now. I got Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday off. Answer your question. We supposed to avoid alcohol. Where'd you live when you and Charles and Williams jumped me back then? On Sacramento. Geez, I always figured you lived down past Geary, the projects. I can tell you getting to reminisce about Marina Junior High School now, Mr. Gullickson, a PE teacher. Man, that dude kicked my ass for 3 years. No kidding. Remember how he'd come up to guys and slap you if he thought you weren't paying attention? I heard one time a kid was looking into the girls' gym, so Gullickson made him put on one of their uniforms. That blue shit? Yeah, the one-piece jobs. Then he sent him in there for the period. Ray was laughing now, his shoulders moving, the first time he'd smiled. I wonder how his discipline style would go over today, Chris said. It wouldn't, Ray said. But it wasn't the worst thing. Kids is too soft now. That's not why we're here, though, is it? No, Chris said, leaning in, lowering his voice. Any idea how I'd get a gun that couldn't be traced? Ray scrunched up his face. Seely, he said, you a more fucked up motherfucker than I even thought. What you want to go messing with something like that for? If I ended up hurting somebody, which I'm not sure about, but if it happened, wouldn't that be one way to handle it? A gun they couldn't track? Sounds like you playing cops and robbers with me now. No, there's a situation, a legitimate one. Not around here, but there's a possibility. Ray gave him a long look. What would it be? Something like 25 years ago we messed you up? 28. It was 89. You've been carrying it around with you? Yep. Let me work on it, and I wouldn't mind a refill. 15. Donation. Bethany returned his call at 10 o'clock that night. Dang, Chris said, a day and a half to call me back. What if it was an emergency? Very funny, she said. Anyway, if I heard you accurately, I don't think so. I'm driving down there Friday evening, Manhattan Beach. A taste of spring in Southern California. What could it hurt? You're trying innovative ways to get me to sleep with you, aren't you? Well, I wouldn't mind, yeah. Chris, it's not going to happen that way. It's not? There's some stuff. It's complicated. Do you mean the dead man walking aspect of things? No, nothing like that. Ah. Look, I'm having some people over tomorrow night for dinner. You want to come? I'm not sure. What are you making? Just stop being difficult and come. Around 6. There was an Albert Reggio listed as the one and only name under the Our Advisors link on the website for Good Fund Financials, LLC. The office was in Hermosa Beach, it said. A Chip Reggio was mentioned in the local Manhattan Beach Weekly on August 18th of last year for having donated 5 cases of wine to a charity auction that was part of the AVP Pro Beach Volleyball Classic. Chris was in the Funston Library. He couldn't find a home address for the guy, and he wondered if the office in Hermosa might be a mail drop, but it did confirm his preliminary research that this good citizen crook was down there somewhere. For the heck of it, he Googled Birgitta Meyerhofer. Not much there, except she was on the faculty of the UC Berkeley Adult Extension and taught a course in art appreciation. In her short faculty bio, it said she had once modeled in New York before turning her attention to art, her life passion. He pictured her in Cala Foods that time, mostly gray, no obvious plastic surgery, but yeah, the high cheekbones and pretty face, and he could see it. Before he got out of there, he thought of Googling Bethany, but decided to leave it alone for now. He arrived at 6 like he was told, and he was too early. Bethany had her hair in a towel and said to make himself comfortable. It was a flat on Cole Street in a hilly neighborhood, a few blocks off the panhandle. The flat was minimally furnished and not particularly cozy, but it was good-sized. "What does this place set you back?" he said when she reappeared. "I didn't realize Billy was such a generous employer." "Oh, it's a sublet," Bethany said. "A husband and wife, both nature writers, they received a grant to go to New Zealand for 18 months. I got a really good deal." The doorbell rang and Phyllis arrived, followed shortly by John, then Steve, then Gloria, finally Jeff. "Everyone, this is Chris," Bethany said. "They all said nice to meet you." "This isn't like a pyramid scheme meeting or something, is it?" Chris said. They laughed. "We play squash together," Bethany said, "at the Bay Club." Chris had tried squash once in Santa Barbara. "There's plenty of fitness involved, right? And a good bit of technique, too, as I remember." "We're not very good," Phyllis said. "We're 3.0 players. It is a lot of fun, though." "We're all on the same team," Bethany said. "It's a co-ed league, which just ended last night, so we're having a little thing." When they sat down and started eating, Chris got asked about himself and what he did, and he could see Bethany shift around slightly. "What I enjoyed the most so far," Chris was saying, "was being a sports writer. You were around all that action." John asked, "Did you ever become friendly with any of the big-name players? I mean, separate from your job?" "A few. I knew Barry Bonds a little bit, and I spent some time with Randy Cross from the 49ers. You'd see a lot of other guys in the bars on Union Street back then. But you tried not to have too much to do with them because it could affect what you wrote." "And the women sports writers," Steve said. "How did it work in the locker room?" Every venue set up a closed-off interview area for that reason. But it never worked because the female writers waiting there were getting trumped by the male writers who were inside getting the locker room quotes first, fresh. So everybody went wherever they wanted, basically. "And the players are just walking around, nothing on," Phyllis said. "They are, but it's not like that. There's a lot of pressure writing game stories, and the deadlines can be tight. The women writers have a lot on their mind." "Did any relationships ever develop, though, between the women and the players?" Gloria said. "There were a couple that I remember, yeah, they didn't last long.
Well, anyway, Bethany said. So after that, you were a high school teacher? Chris nodded. In Terra Linda, the south side. Gee, speaking of Terra Linda, Jeff said. Something I just read about. I take it you knew that baseball pitcher up there that got murdered? That was a tough thing, John said. I saw it too. I did read about that, Bethany said, but there's a backstory to it, right, Chris? Hadn't he been arrested at one point? There was an alcohol incident at a party, Chris said, and a girl died, 16. I had her in a class. You did, Phyllis said. How tragic. Do you think the girl's family might have hired someone to do it? John said. Or maybe what goes around does come back around, Steve said. Wait a minute, how can you say that, Jeff said. We don't even know what happened. The kid, Donnie Shellhorn, fed her 8 consecutive shots of Svedka vodka, Chris said. She laid down on the couch and never came to. Oh my God, Gloria said. And there was a plea bargain, correct, Bethany said. It sure sounds as though he should have spent some time in prison. Maybe justice was served. Beth, I can't believe you, Jeff said. You have a guy bashed to death in some woods, and you're saying that's okay. What do you think, Chris? I can see both sides of it, he said. Chris helped in the kitchen with the dishes. Phyllis and Gloria and Steve had left, but John and Jeff were hanging around, and he didn't feel like trying to outlast them. At the door, Bethany gave him a peck on the cheek and thanked him for coming. It was refreshing to get a different perspective tonight, she said, instead of just shop talk. What about the other thing? Let me sleep on it. Until when? Tomorrow night, she said. 16. Second invitation. Thursday morning, there was a text from Joyce. It said, "Need to see you today. Call me on the school number." Chris went for his run but was preoccupied now with what the heck could this be. He called her at 10:30, left a message with the office, and 20 minutes later she called back. Better to be using the school phone, she said, not because of the other issue so much, but something else I didn't expect. Can I come down? No, he said. I have a prep 7th period today, she said, so I could be there about 3. We can just grab a sandwich and something to drink. I'll say my piece and be out of your hair before it's hardly dark. Ooh boy, Chris said. Okay, fine. It was more like 3:45 when she got there and he met her outside. No suede skirt this time, but the tight jeans and high boots weren't exactly teacher's attire either. He suggested the Booker Lounge and asked what this apparent new big development was. She said, let's get settled first. Joyce ordered a gin and tonic and Chris had a Manhattan, which he'd been meaning to try after seeing Barefoot Contessa make one on the cooking show he liked. They went through the little usual small talk, ordered another round, and Booker came over to say hello. When he left, Joyce said, that's a handsome man. He has quite a presence. You'd be interested in him then? I could be, yes, under the right circumstances. You mean if you thought he might have smashed a guy over the head or something? Come on, Chris. Well, here's what you do then. You take your over-the-top interest in the male population, which is not unappreciated, don't get me wrong, and channel it toward the guy you've been supposedly screwing for the past couple months. That's what I'm getting to, she said. He knows about you. A moment of panic, and Chris said, knows about me what? About me running down to see you, texting you, calling you. He got into my phone. That it? Nothing about me being connected to your theory on what might have happened to Donnie? Chris, I would never. What do you think I am? Okay, good. So all we're dealing with is he's a little jealous. And he's right to be. So get your ass home and take care of business. It's not that simple. Unfortunately, I think he's going to do something. To you? No, to you. He's that type of guy?
I didn't think so, but when I admitted what was going on, I saw a very angry side of him I didn't know was there. Wait a minute, admitted what was going on? Just that I still have some feelings for you and I'm attracted to you, even though we parted ways a few years ago. Ah, Christ, of all things, why in the heck would you say that? Because it's true. First of all, it's not true. You're in a mixed up state right now. Either way, all you tell him is the Donnie thing has you feeling bad about Megan again, and you've been talking to an old friend who can relate. That's part of it, yes. That's all of it. It's basically the same thing I told Allison the other night. Oh yeah, Allison, she seemed very nice. I want to hear about it. It only went fair. You screwed things up pretty royally there. She didn't believe you then? Pretty sure she did, but it just didn't work out great after that. When they got back to his building, she said, I want to, but I won't force you. He put his arm around her and pulled her in. Don't be ridiculous. It's not forcing. There's just too many complications right now. I think we both know it. He helped her into the car. When she'd made the turn onto Lombard, he right away second-guessed himself, but that's the way it went. 10 minutes later, the doorbell rang. One thing you had to give her was credit for persistence, and Chris wasn't positive he could turn down a second invitation. He went downstairs and opened the door, and it was a heavy-set man wearing a sport coat and tie. This can't be right. A cop? Are you Chris Seeley? Yes, I am. The fist entered his field of vision from the left and a millisecond later connected with his right eye, and Chris fell back into the alcove and down. The man said, "Don't touch Joyce again. Stay away from her." Chris was trying to figure out if he could still see. "We good on that?" the guy said. Chris nodded they were and staggered up the stairs. 17. Working Cowboys. He was looking for the ice, couldn't find any, so he grabbed a frozen steak, laid back on the couch, and pressed it on his eye. The phone rang and he answered it automatically, fearing it was Joyce's boyfriend with further instructions. "Hey," Bethany said. "Oh, hi. Chris, what's wrong? You don't sound good. I'm not kidding. What is it?" No, it's not what you think," he said. "Some guy just hit me in the face." "Are you serious?" "Yeah, just a random thing right in the neighborhood. It's over now. It's fine." "Should you go in?" "Nah, I got ice and I'll find some Tylenol." "What kind of random thing?" "Well, not quite 100% random, actually." "Meaning there's a story behind it, correct?" "There always is, I guess, if you dig deep enough." "Well, then you can tell me about it on the way to L.A. "Oh, yeah. But judging from your reaction, why don't we take a rain check?" No, are you kidding? In 24 hours, I'll be as good as new. And don't worry, I'll book 2 rooms. Chris, I can handle 1 room. But just make sure it has 2 beds, okay?" Friday morning, the eye looked real bad. It was essentially closed, red, and swollen on top with a half-moon outline underneath which would no doubt turn into an assortment of colors. Chris found his 1 pair of sunglasses and drove to San Bruno. There was a Goodwill there that he was familiar with, a busy place where it was unlikely they'd remember a guy purchasing a baseball bat. He found 2 that would work, 1 wood, 1 aluminum, bought a bottle of alcohol and some latex gloves at Walgreens, picked up one of those bat cases with the shoulder strap at Big Five, and threw the whole shebang into the spare tire compartment under the main trunk. He doubted there'd be a favorable opportunity this weekend, but knowing he wasn't going empty-handed made him feel slightly better, though his head was pounding like a mother. When he checked his phone, there were 3 missed calls from the high school office number. Joyce, obviously. There were two messages. The first was Steve Meyerhofer cursing him out again, so he advanced to the second, which just said, "Hi, it's Allison." Chris wondered if somehow he could hook up Meyerhofer with Joyce, and then the wine guy would kill Meyerhofer. He printed out some street maps of the Manhattan Hermosa Redondo area, packed a bag, and since he had a couple hours, moseyed on over to Weatherby's. Before he went in, he returned Allison's message. "I'm glad you called," she said. "Well, what's up? The two songs that you liked better than the other one? I've been working on them. I think there's an improvement." "That's good. I'm playing an open mic tomorrow night at the Fig Tree in Berkeley. Can you come?" "No, I can't." "Oh, okay. I didn't mean it that way. You didn't catch me at my best, is all. Plus, I have to go to L.A. "Well, there's another one Tuesday night I could try in Marin. Would that be a possible? I can email you the link." "Fine. You'll really come? Awesome. Practice hard all weekend," he said, and hung up. Before he'd fully taken his customary stool, Shep said, "Whoa, brother. That bad, even with the sunglasses then," Chris said. "I've got something this weekend and I was hoping to be at my best." "The shades give it a little disguise, but it's pretty clear you got clocked, man." "I deserved it." "Hey," Shep said, coming close. "This have anything to do with..." "No, not at all." "Any further developments along those lines?" "I want there to be, but it hasn't happened. One guy I resolved it with diplomatically, so I'm taking him off the list." "Fuck, you got a list?" "Yeah." "So what's this weekend?" "A little scouting trip." "Ooh, in that case, keep safe, partner." "You like meat?" Chris said. They were on Highway 5 south of Tracy. "I'm hoping that's a normal question, in which case, yes, I do," Bethany said. They stopped at Harris Ranch near Coalinga, halfway to Los Angeles. It had a more touristy element than Chris remembered, but the food was still pretty good. "When I was a kid, my parents would bring us here on trips," he said. "You'd see working cowboys eating meals, wearing their chaps." "Are they still alive, your parents?" "No, they both died 7 years ago. My dad had a stroke, and then my mom was so heartsick, she didn't last the year, even though there was nothing wrong with the woman." "Ooh, you see that frequently, I'm afraid," Bethany said. "So who do you have, Chris?" "Uh-oh." "No, I'm just curious, honestly." He told her about Floyd and Bonnie. "So do you have any plans and so forth?" "You mean when things get worse?" "Fine, yes." "None whatsoever," he said. "And since we're asking the hard questions, could you please clarify your views on sexual relations?" Bethany half smiled. "You're not going to let up. So if you can get me a cup of hot tea to go, maybe when we're back on the road." Chris reintroduced the subject an hour later when they were approaching the Tehachapi Mountains on the northern fringes of L.A. County. "The short version," she said, "is I have an ex-husband I can't move forward from." "Is that blunt enough for you?" "Wow, I didn't think..." "I know, that's what everyone says. We got married out of high school." "Around here? I mean, the Bay Area somewhere?" "No, I'm from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Don't laugh." "That where he still is then? Or he's out here?" "He's in Anthem, Arizona." "Oh, but Chris, can we not discuss this anymore this weekend? I'm actually having fun with you, believe it or not. So please don't wreck it." 18. Seaweed Wrap. Chris went for a run on the beach, and when he got back, Bethany was up and sitting on the little terrace with coffee and a newspaper. "The croissants are to die for," she said. "You need to get something before it ends. They call it a continental breakfast, but it's quite the spread." They were staying at the Minka Hotel, two blocks from the Manhattan Beach Pier. There were nice places on Sepulveda at a third the price, but Chris couldn't think of any reason to economize these days. "Well, I will then," he said, "and after that, you want to take a walk, do a little shopping? Or maybe you'd rather lounge around the pool in your swimsuit. I saw the sign the water's 82 degrees year-round." "A walk sounds nice," she said. They went up the boulevard past Highland and looped through the shopping district. On Manhattan Avenue in front of the A-Team shoe shop, she took his arm. "Now that definitely throws me off," he said. "I love it here. You're a very good host." "Okay, well, here's the thing," he said when they got back to the hotel. "I have a small bit of business to take care of this afternoon. They have a spa right downstairs. Can you go get a treatment? Massage, facial, seaweed wrap, foot thing, whatever there is. Get the works and just sign for it." "That sounds amazing," she said. "Are you sure?" "Absolutely. That's the whole reason we're here, to relax and recharge the batteries." Chip Reggio's Good Fun Financials LLC was listed at 113 Norden Lane in Hermosa Beach. It turned out to be a real office in a small strip mall with a red and yellow sign hanging out front, maybe a mile from the beach. Driving slowly past it, Chris could actually see the asshole, if that was him, at his desk through the window. The other tenants in the strip mall were a dentist, a CPA, a taqueria, a cleaner's, and a framing shop. Across the street was a bed store that took up half the block, a ballet studio, and on the corner, a Baskin-Robbins. Chris drove around until he found one of those big complexes with a Best Buy and a Target and parked. He called a cab and waited for it in front of Panda Express. When they had pulled up to Good Fun Financials, he told the driver he'd be 10 minutes. "Can I do for you?" said the man he was pretty sure was Reggio. "Hi there," Chris said. "I'm shopping." He kept his hands in his pockets. "Chip, a pleasure. Big boy shopping or what?" "Well, I'm not sure yet. Just closed my parents' estate up north. I'm spending a couple days with my buddy in MB, then back to Scottsdale. My head's still spinning from the whole thing." "That's understandable. What are we talking about?" "Well, the estate's around $3 million after the dust settles." "And you picked me why, exactly?" "Mainly because the website says you do hard money first, which might be one way to go. What does that pay?" "Well, I normally charge them 12 and you get 9. I keep 3. "And are they clean?" "Oh, yeah. For every 50 that come across my desk, I pick one. Good condition, prime neighborhoods, and we only do 40% loan to value max. Just no way to get hurt." "If they don't pay?" "If they don't pay, we take the asset, and then it's Christmas. That hardly ever happens, though. They get stuck, they normally go to another hard money guy who loans them 50 or 60%. At that point, they usually are fucked, yeah. But that doesn't affect us, because we got our money out, plus interest and penalties and other fees we tack on. Of course, if you want to take a little risk, I have a variation that'll knock your socks off." "Interesting," Chris said. "Can you meet me tomorrow morning at 8? I'll bring what I have and you can shoot the whole thing by me in more detail." "How about 10? That's a little early on a Sunday." "I'm trying to line up 2 or 3 of these tomorrow if I can. You're the first, so the earlier the better." "Okay, fine. What's your name again?" "Bob," he said. "I'll see you at 8. Thanks very much." When Chris got back to the room, there was no sign of Bethany, so he went down to the pier. The beach volleyball courts were full. There was a junior lifeguard training day going on. A lot of surfers in the water. Plenty of action. Not many bikinis yet, but it was still March. He was pretty positive he hadn't touched anything in the office. No handshake, and the guy had opened the door for him both ways. There were no security cameras. There was a second desk there, but it was unlikely it'd be anyone besides Chip meeting him tomorrow. His one concern was, did the taqueria guys come in early to start like a big soup or something? His brother Floyd had worked for Chip when he was fresh out of UNLV. Chip had a catering business that was connected to some of the casinos and handled their overflow at large corporate events. He recruited kids like Floyd from the college culinary program as interns. Floyd was a quick learner, and Chip introduced him to his other business, which was distressed properties. He taught Floyd the basics, told him, find me a deal, and if I buy it, I'll give you 20% of the profit after I flip it. Floyd began hitting the courthouse 3 times a week, looking up the foreclosure filings. He drove around neighborhoods, knocked on owners' doors, asking if they wanted to sell their house before the bank got too involved. Some of the owners were polite and some weren't, but no one was interested. Finally, in North Vegas, a guy agreed to deed him his tract house for the amount of the arrears plus $10,000, which came out to $62,000. Floyd ran a few comps and figured after $5,000 of fix-up, the place was worth $125,000 with a quick sale value of $105,000, and he took it to Chip. Chip closed on it a couple days later and resold the place within a month. When Floyd asked about getting paid, Chip told him his payouts were quarterly and to keep up the good work. Floyd got better at sifting through the properties with potential and separating them from the dead wood. And in 2 months, he laid 7 more deals on Chip's desk. Floyd decided that was enough for now until he got paid and stopped going to the courthouse. When the 8th and final property had sold, well after whatever quarter Chip had been referring to, Floyd asked for his cut, which added up to $73,000. Bud, Chip said, you're a dependable worker and you learned a good lesson here. You want something, get it in writing. Right now, we got nothing to talk about. Floyd got drunk that night and considered killing Chip. A few thoughts stopped him, the main one being, how would you get away with it? And the second being, Chip was probably connected. Floyd let it go and moved on. This was 12 years ago. Chris walked up the hill from the pier, and Bethany was stretched out on a chaise lounge at the pool, wearing big baggy sweat clothes and Uggs. She said, I've been trying to remember when I've had an experience as heavenly, and I can't come up with one. Chris said, they put their hands all over you and everything? Oh yes, it was dreamlike. Chris, thank you so much. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm ravenous. I could certainly eat something too. You follow the NCAA tournament at all? Chris said. I see they have a sports bar a block over, which I could carry you to if you're too exhausted. Sounds perfect, and I can make it. Who'd you end up taking to that Warriors game, by the way, he said, when they were settled in at the Goofy Foot Bar and Grill? Jeff. Oh, I noticed he called you Beth. You go by that? No, lately he's been shortening it. Is that right? You know what? I'm going to have to start interrogating you. I can only guess at the skeletons you must have in your closet. The menu wasn't exciting, so they went with drinks and appetizers. Kentucky dominated Indiana, and Syracuse hit a shot at the buzzer to beat Wisconsin. I enjoy college ball more than the pros, to be honest, Chris said. Maybe because it's the end of the line for most of them. I know, you can feel the emotion that they're not professionals, Bethany said. Sometime after midnight, both of them still awake, she got out of her bed and into his. Let me get this straight, he said. I got a glimpse just then of a tiny pair of briefs and a t-shirt that had to be 3 sizes too small for what it was trying to contain. Now it's all right here, but I can't do anything about it. I wish we could, but you wouldn't be happy. It would put a damper on everything. She had her head against him and her hand on his chest. The windows were open and they could hear the ocean. He gave me the short version. What's the long one? Chris said. He told me he didn't want me intimate with anyone else. Wait a minute. I've said the same thing to people, but I never expect it to work. This is different, though. I feel like he's not exactly hovering, but aware of things. Irrational as that sounds. And he gave you this ultimatum when? 3 years ago when we separated. Holy shit. So you haven't been able to enjoy yourself since then? Only twice. The two times I went back to visit him. Chris tried to absorb this. I know what you're thinking, she said, that I need a psychiatrist, right? Not necessarily, he said. Maybe you just need to get back together, frankly. That could never happen. He scares me. Scares you into deciding he's the only one you can successfully fuck. Please don't put it so crudely, but yes, that. And scares me that he might hurt me if I became seriously involved with someone. Wow, this is becoming a common theme. What is? Forget that. Go ahead. It's just a gut feeling. I have nothing to validate it. And you say he's in Arizona, Chris said. Whereabouts again? Oh no, you're not going to call him. Is that what you're thinking? That would never work. Why not? One man to another, get him to see he's stifling your life experience. If you tried that, she said, he'd know right away I told you to, and things would intensify. Oh well, it was an idea. That is really sweet of you, I mean it. It's for me alone to resolve, I'm hoping sooner or later I can. A few minutes passed. Bethany said, would now be a good time to tell me about your eye? The part about it not being 100% random? Hey, no one has seemed to notice down here, Chris said. Maybe the sunglasses are working. What happened, though? A guy I'd never met but knew of, who had the look of a bodybuilder, he connected with an overhand right. And any idea why? Some, yeah, but it could have been handled differently. Getting violent like that, it rarely solves anything.